You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
Story here from the New York Post. Terrifying video shows a tourist being thrown from a roller coaster at an amusement park in Ecuador.
Oh, it's something.
Terrifying. The thrills. That is not what you said earlier in the newsroom, Sam, as you were watching the video over and over again.
Here we go.
Was I watching it alone, Scott Parks?
The roller coaster turns right and she veers left. There's no other way to describe it.
The ride operators said that her seatbelt malfunctioned in some way, had come undone. They didn't specify if it broke or if it, you know, just came unhooked. But yes, to Dana's point, as it was curving right, gravity took her left.
Is she all right?
Her condition is unknown at this time.
Hmm.
She fell 13 feet, was seen flat on her back.
I'm not laughing.
I'm not either.
Does the word yeet apply in this?
Yeet?
I would say that the roller coaster did yeet her from
she
it.
She was. I said this in the newsroom, Dan. I go.
She got yeeted.
She was yeeted out of the roller coaster. And by the way, Carrie Emmert sent this for the show yesterday, and this is a surprise for all of you. It's called the Slang-O-Matic. So if you don't know what the word yeet means, the Slang-O-Matic is a wheel with the little brad in the middle like we used to have in elementary school.
Wait, I should have that so you can guess.
No.
Oh, no. Yes. Let me take it to Sam.
You're not going to know any of these. I'm trying to educate all of our audience. No one is going to know these.
You won't know any of these words. Okay.
If you are a boomer, the term is right on. If you're Gen X, word.
Yeah,
that's right.
If you're a millennial, for real. Yeah. And if you're Gen Z, fur.
For what?
FR. Oh, wait, do you say it FR?
FR means for real.
Sorry, you're supposed to say.
This is why I should have it.
FR. Okay, what have we learned?
That you don't understand modern slang lingo.
Yesterday, I posted something very similar. Mm-hmm. That shows basically Gen X's response to all of these is just different variations of the word
dude.
Boomer might say, dude. Nailed it. Gen X, Scott, you and I would be like, you crushed it. Millennial might say, you killed it. Gen Z says,
fur.
Eight?
Yeah, we eaten.
A-T-E. What does that mean, Sam?
You've seen a college basketball player hit a three-pointer and hold a fake bowl of cereal and scoop it into their mouth.
Okay.
We eaten.
We eaten?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
We eaten.
You ate.
We ate.
Uh-huh.
You guys, please promise me, everyone listening, you will go home if you have a 13-year-old tonight and be like, God, I had a great day at work to get. I ate.
I ate all day.
Mm-hmm. The boomer would say, no bull. Gen X would say, no joke. Millennial might say, no lie.
No cap.
Gen Z is no cap. And then last one, because I did not know what this was. A boomer might call an attractive person a fox.
Oh, yeah.
We would say it fine.
Or babe.
Yeah.
Okay. Millennial would say hottie, Dan.
Oh.
The new term for Gen Z is snack.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
yeah.
Use it in a sentence, Sam.
Oh, she's a snack.
Oh, my gosh.
There's also a really mean way to identify attractive women and unattractive women in a group, if you want me to share that phrase.
We would.
Okay, what?
Fridge has always got to protect the snack.
Oh, my gosh.
So is
Sam.
It's a phrase. I didn't invent it.
So if somebody is a snack, do you still do the cereal bowl motions?
I don't think so, Dan.
That would be kind of...
I don't think we should blend our lingo.
Dude!
Last one.
The snack is supposed to be part of having Riz.
No. A boomer might say, been there. Gen X might say, I hear you. Millennial might say, samesies. Gen Z is now apparently saying, mood.
Yeah, mood.
What does that mean?
You're just agreeing with the sentiment.
Mood?
Yeah, mood. Man, I'm having a rough day. Mood.
It's shortening the sentence of I'm feeling the same mood.
No, just a mood. Dan, do not try to explain it. You sound like an old man.
Well, you're Dan, you're hurting yourself.
That guy cut me off in traffic.
Mood.
So you guys are getting it.
Mood.
You guys are
getting one more example, Sam, because I want to say it one more time.
Look at Dan.
Wait, you want me to give you an example?
Yeah, I'm sick and tired of...
Man, I can't stand it when people cut me in line at QT.
Mood.
Dude.
Mood.
Last one. A boomer might say, whoop-dee-doo. Gen X, whatever.
Yeah.
Millennial, meh. Gen Z's new term is mid.
Mid?
Mid.
Yeah, that's mid, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like, do you care if we go to a movie or stay home? Do you just go mid?
No, it's more like, how was it? Mid.
Mid.
Like, kind of in the middle, not great, not awful?
Mid, I believe, is short for middle, yeah.
We were the greatest generation after World War II. We're going to go World War II, and then we're going to go Gen X.
Yeah, okay.
Oh, see, no, not at all. That's the worst thing I've ever heard.
I love these arguments because it always comes up that the younger generations are worse than the older generations.
Mid.
Y'all created us.
Yeah.
No, I think Gen X may go down in history as one of the worst generations.
No.
We created the participation trophy, helicopter parenting.
Bruh, that means, yeah, right.
I know, bro.
Dude.
Was that another one on the wheel?
Bruh. What I love that. My kids say that all the time.
Bruh?
Bruh?
The one that gets me lately is giving.
What is giving?
So it would be like Scott, when he wears his Adidas track suit.
Okay.
You would say that's giving Serbian mobster.
Okay. You're like giving off the vibe, but we don't really have time to say giving off the vibe. So
Pretty much.
Just say you're really giving Serbian mobster vibes today.
No, you just say giving.
You just say that's it?
That's giving Serbian mobster.
That is the dumbest thing I've ever heard in my entire life.
It's all over the place.
Coming from the generation that used the word bad to mean good.
Fair.
I mean, we mood. Had... You know, before,
what am I supposed to say, mid or mood?
That one would be mood. Saying that's fair would be mood.
So I want to point out that not only Gen X, we do not get to make fun of any other generation slang. For example... My most recent one, we used the word bad, and it implied good.
Mm-hmm.
We also, if you didn't like something or, you know, ugh, I don't want to deal with that, we would say, choke me with a food processor.
That was so bad. It was so
choke
bad.
Choke me with a food processor.
Doesn't now, even you know who started all of that? It came out of the boomers.
Well, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And we picked it up, of course.
You're welcome. We've all been educated.
So low key, y'all are giving sus right now.
Okay. Huh.
When do you say skibbity?
Whenever you want to.
But what does it mean?
Sky Rizkismism.
6767.
The only thing that would have made the guy stuck in the porta potty story even better is if he had popped up and said, skibbity.
Dude.
You know what? I'm disappointed in Kansas City since you mentioned that.
Yeah.
Where was the national takeoff of that meme? It didn't happen.
The meme didn't happen, but the story took off.
It just, I thought for sure the guy sticking his head up out of the Port-a-John.
Quote, like Oscar the Grouch.
Correct. With flakes of whatever was on his face. I don't even know what that was, and I don't want to. Well, he's looking for a bottle of Mountain Dew.
You knew what was on his face.
Here's the deal.
It was poo.
Maybe some corn.
It did go viral.
But it didn't.
It had its day in the sun, if you will, and then.
It just didn't take off the way I expected.
You know why? I think people thought there is no way that elevator is going all the way up to the top floor. And so then you sort of feel bad. Like making fun of someone that gets yeeted off of a roller coaster. You should feel bad for doing that.
But the nation is making fun of Mr. McDaniel, who was thrown 8 feet in the air by a bison.
I'll give you that.
I mean, that was pretty...
Mood. You were looking for mood.
Mood.
There.
Dude.
913-586-7798. Dana Wright, Sam Stevie III. My name's Scott Parks here on KMBZ. We were talking at the beginning of the show today. Dana was curious because to what percentage of Americans forget their take-home food when they leave a restaurant, et cetera, and either leave it at the restaurant or, in Dana's case last night with her burrito, left it in the car.
It's now salmonella burrito.
She was hoping to slay that burrito for lunch today, but had to throw it away. And we got in. Sam started bringing up how much food Americans waste on a monthly and even yearly basis. Would you care to guess the foods that we allow to go bad?
Okay. Milk.
No. Oh yes, number three. Bread. Number three. Bread. Number five.
Oh yeah, so much mold.
Mm-hmm.
Like meat.
Meat number nine.
Yeah, meat's too expensive. That's going to be lower on the list.
Cheese. Comes under deli items, number seven.
Yep. Question, okay. If there's a spot of mold on some of the outer cheese, do you move toward the center and just eat one of the center pieces of cheese?
One could.
You could.
One could.
I do.
I do too. Yep.
Keep going.
Fruit. So bad. I'm so bad with fruit.
You're going to have to be more specific when you say fruit.
I get tomatoes and avocados that go bad before I can eat them, and
avocado,
I get bananas.
Avocado number six.
Yeah.
Bananas.
Number two.
Yep.
Lettuce is number one, Dan. I heard you scream that out in the newsroom. Lettuce is number one.
Well, everybody's letting that go bad right now because we don't want the poops.
Apples number four. Eggs number eight. And carrots.
Wait. 10.
Eggs don't go bad.
Eggs?
Eggs are number eight.
Eggs don't go bad. I mean... Right?
Well, why couldn't they?
I've never seen eggs go bad.
I've never seen it.
Well, but you also eat four a day.
Five now, but yeah.
Five a day.
Did you guys hear? I love these like estate sale thrift shop stories that a 19-year-old kid, floppy-haired, brunette, darling child, went thrifting and paid $3.07 for what somebody else didn't want. It turned out, for $3.07, he bought Wilt Chamberlain's warm-up jacket from the 1972 NBA Finals.
Yeah.
After it was authenticated, do you want to guess what that thing sold at auction?
Well, I have it right in front of me,
paid
so go
$3.
Ahead. $3.07. That is correct. Yep.
$90,000.
Whoa.
And did you also read, Scott, that somebody else had picked it up first and then they're like, nah, I don't want that. You can have it.
They were like, probably beat up a little bit.
No, they were just both looking in the same area, right? And then whoever the other shopper was kind of looking at it and then they're like, nah. And he was like, I'll take it. Can you believe that?
He said, I got so lucky with my Will Chamberlain jacket. It's an amazing feeling to find something like this.
No, it's an amazing feeling to sell.
Yes.
Something like this.
Have you driven by your neighborhood gas station recently? Gas went up another 20 cents overnight.
Oh, my gosh.
At my neighborhood Quick Trip, it was $3.99 this morning.
I went in to get a Mega Millions ticket and a coffee because I believe Mega Millions and Powerball is up to like $96 trillion dollars.
Okay.
It's up big.
What does that have to do with gas?
Well, that you asked, dude, I don't ever need gas.
Oh, that's true.
So I went in for a ticket today.
Filled up my car yesterday before the price hike of 20 cents overnight. Just filling up my car, and I still had some left in the tank, $55.
Nope.
$55.
The Mega Millions is closing in on a year high, $750 million. Dollars. I think it's in the top 10. No one drew the correct numbers Tuesday night. If you match all of the numbers on Friday, out of that 743 million, you get about 323.
QT million. Is still rocking 389 for gas.
Okay, the QT by my house is 399.
Woo.
Was this morning. I saw it when I drove in. Police are investigating after a garbage truck explosion injured a sanitation worker.
Again,
the blast is being blamed on improperly disposed of oxygen tanks. The oxygen tank exploded as it was being.
If you're curious what it sounds like, that's what it sounds like.
It sounds like metal just grinding up against metal. The oxygen tank exploded as it was being picked up by a garbage truck in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Two men were behind the truck.
One of them almost lost his eye.
Preparing to add more trash, when it happened, shrapnel hit one of the workers in the eye. Luckily, he had on goggles.
Listen to this. Last year, this happened in Ohio, and it was a violent blast. Injured the worker. And the worker had just gone up to put some recycling bottles, and he just went to dump it out. And there's some glass in it when he dumps it out.
Right.
And then as the crusher on the garbage truck starts to crush down, it hit an oxygen tank, and that thing blew to smithereens. Do you remember we had a waste management person on after this happened? That video went viral. And they said it is one of the most dangerous things that they face out there when the rest of us put things in the trash that are not supposed to be there. And I had never thought about it, Scott. Even hairspray cans, any aerosol pressurized can, he said, should not go in your trash.
Batteries.
That's a big one.
Why are batteries such a problem?
They can catch fire.
Fire.
Oh, yeah.
But what else do you do with a double A?
Well,
am I taking it to a battery drop-off center every time my smoke detector needs a new set?
Right. I know. We need to make it easier for people to do the right thing. But with an oxygen tank, be honest, that's a weird thing to put in the trash. When it happened in Ohio and almost killed that guy, it was an estate sale. The woman had died. And they had cleaned out all of her house and just the couple things left, they just put it in the trash. And I think it was maybe even the estate sale company. They just didn't know. You cannot put an oxygen tank in the trash.
But here's the deal. There, there are a number of things that you're not supposed to put in your trash. And let's be honest, Sam, to your point about even just small batteries, right?
Like paint. You're not supposed to throw away paint.
That's exactly where I was about to go. Who among us has... instead of going, I guess I'll drive to the disposal place and turn in all this unused paint.
You have to make an appointment.
Doesn't just say, and throw the paint into the trash when you put it at the curb on a Thursday.
I've never done paint and I've never done oil, but I have done batteries.
I've done paint once and only when there was nothing left inside. It was crusted to the exterior. Probably still frowned upon. I have never... done like a liquid can of paint. It just lives in our basement.
I have put unused paint in the garbage. But why are you not supposed to? I don't understand.
Because it ends up in our drinking water.
Well, but everything, I mean, then should we not throw away used diapers? I mean, doesn't everything then theoretically end up in the drinking water?
I was going to say, I would hope they're not sourcing drinking water from next to Deffenbaugh. But
well, I've just always known you're not supposed to do it.
Would you care to guess which large body of water is within a stone's throw of Deffenbaugh? It would be the Kansas River.
The issue is volatile organic compounds, heavy metals, and petroleum distillates. Highly flammable is why.
Distillates.
What's a distillate?
Common spelling.
Let me type that in.
Not necessary.
We're good.
Oh, no.
Have you guys seen the new renderings? The very first renderings have been released for the Kansas City Chiefs.
I was just going to go there.
New stadium.
Don't give it away. We will talk about that in just a minute.
You're going to love it.
We will talk about that in just a minute after the quick bottom of the hour break. Foster Adopt Connect helps kids in foster care and the families who care for them navigate one of the toughest journeys that a child can face. It's more than just paperwork. There's so much more. It's trauma-informed support, community advocacy, and real help when it's needed the most. And that's why KMBZ and Pinnacle Bank are proud to partner with Foster Adopt Connect School Supply Drive. There is a real need in our community. A new backpack is just the beginning. You can learn more about their important work and make a donation. Just go to KMBZ.com. Look for the school supply link on our homepage. Together, we can give kids a strong start to a new school year.
Well, this will come as no surprise, but it is happy news to share. Fox Sports today released the top markets for the 104 matches in the World Cup, and Kansas City is number one, quote, by a country mile. Kansas City had an average 4.89 rating and a 20 share per match. Number two came in at 3.91. We were 4.89.
Wow.
Number two was Boston and Austin with a 3.91. Here's what's interesting. The gap between us at number one and the number two markets is larger than the number two and number 15 markets.
Wow.
We're awesome.
Number one with a bullet.
We're the greatest.
I agree. There you go.
And don't think for a second, because the 2031 Women's World Cup is being hosted 2031 by the United States, Mexico, Costa Rica, and Jamaica.
Do we know that now?
That's what, according to the internets, yes.
Okay.
Don't think for a second that the TV ratings
we are one
and,
of-
and the overall good vibe that Kansas City got from the Men's World Cup, don't think for a second we are not front runners for Women's World Cup sites.
We are one of 17 in consideration.
Good.
Yeah. All right. Speaking of sports, the Chiefs' long-established plans to move across the state line now come with a visual. Mm-hmm. The organization unveiling today its first glimpses of designs for the $3 billion stadium in Wyandotte County set to open for the 2031 season. The renderings, which the team called its initial concepts, depict a venue that will hold an estimated 70,000 fans. That is about 3,500 fewer than Arrowhead. Like most NFL venues, new ones, though distinctly unlike Arrowhead Stadium, the Chiefs' new stadium will be a dome, as they had previously announced. It will have a translucent roof, essentially a replacement for traditional glass. Okay.
It's not exactly a dome.
I saw somebody on Twitter say that who took Arrowhead and put a toilet seat on top. And what, now what I that, can't unsee it.
What that roof looks like, the shape in these renderings, is a hyperbolic paraboloid.
Okay.
Better known as a Pringle.
A Pringle.
It looks like a Pringle.
I thought it looked like a spaceship, an unidentified flying
But Sam, tell everybody what you think it looks like.
I think that it looks, and they did kind of note this when they released the renderings about trying to keep the same vibe, the same love for Arrowhead Stadium. If you remember correctly in our stadium conversations, which we had roughly 473 million hours of, they at one point said that they could not put a dome on Arrowhead because of the way the roofline was shaped. Can't help but notice the new renderings have the same exact roofline. Actually, they look exactly like the inside of Arrowhead Stadium to a T.
I love it. Let me give you another visual. It looks like a cereal bowl, okay, when you've put the cellophane over the top of it to save your leftovers and put it in the fridge.
Tupperware lid.
Look at that. It looks like a bowl.
I've seen it.
Like a bowl that you would put food in, but then you've got the top. You know,
but Dana, it looks like Arrowhead.
They are not doing anything new.
The architectural designs, the slopes.
Well, what are they going to make it a cube? I mean, it has to be stadium shaped.
Have you seen Allegiant?
I know, but like, I think this
is
appropriate.
Have you seen SoFi in LA?
I like this.
Now, in terms of not having Kansas Cityans rioting in the streets with pitchforks and torches, I think this is their best route.
Clark Hunt says, and I quote, "It is spectacular. It honors the rich legacy of this franchise while setting a bold new course for the future of Chiefs Kingdom. While we are still finalizing many of the details, there are a few things we know for sure. It's going to hold 70,000 fans. And, quote, it will still be the best place in the world to tailgate, and the whole building will be built for noise."
A few thousand fewer seats, I think like 10,000 fewer parking spaces. However, I do like that the slope of the roof, the Pringle, is specifically designed to push noise back down.
It is. Audio engineers studied the size, shape, and roof geometry to maximize crowd noise. I absolutely love it. I'm not going to poo-poo this. Not doing it.
I'm not poo-pooing it either. I'm just saying it looks like Arrowhead just with a roof on top of it.
And gold.
That's gold. What a lot of people are commenting out there,
love
Scott.
It.
Is that it looks just like a little updated Arrowhead,
you know,
with a roof on top.
You know what,
so now it's
were also saying?
Pringle head.
people were also saying that the World Cup was going to be a failure and that none of the hotels would be booked.
I didn't say that.
I'm just saying, for months, people in this town hate change. And they like going, yeah, but what about...
I long thought that the World Cup was going to be a huge success. I was concerned, and this did bear out in the first game, that they hadn't really thought through the transportation thing.
And then they fixed it.
And they learned on the fly, and they fixed it. Wait, you're almost acting...
We are a grumpy bunch in Kansas City. I'm just going to tell you, we should be so happy and so proud that all of these forward-thinking, amazing additions to our town are coming. But instead, it looks just like the old heroine.
No, wait a minute. You're acting as if I said that the World Cup would be a disaster.
I'm saying as a collective, go back and look at the stories leading up to the World Cup. It was doom and gloom, and the sky is falling.
Not if you listen to my podcast that we did with Rob Breton.
I'm just telling you, people in this town like to complain.
You mean about things like, I don't know, maybe a NASCAR track?
Well, that was 30 years ago.
You thought that that was going to be a failure.
I thought it was dumb. But
so
that
what's the difference
30
here?
Years ago. Like, who in the hell's going to drive out to KCK to watch a bunch of cars turning left?
About 75,000 people.
Swing and a miss.
And I'll tell you what I got wrong.
Okay.
I got the new airport dead wrong. I was opposed to it. I thought we don't need it. If we're going to spend that much money, why not just fix up the current KCI or the old KCI? I thought the old KCI was very convenient, old and dilapidated and probably reeking of asbestos. Yeah. Fixable, yes. And I, on this very show, spent many a minute telling you that the new KCI was unnecessary. We didn't need it. It was a waste of money. I was wrong.
People were saying the same thing about the Sprint Center.
I wasn't. Kemper was a dump.
Did you also see, with respect to the airport, that the Kansas City Star did a reader's poll, and they said, where do you want the FIFA World Cup gigantic heart to end up? Now, this is not the end-all be-all. They did a reader's poll. And unfortunately, the overwhelming majority of respondents want it to be planted inside the airport.
Inside or outside?
Somewhere in the airport, like to greet you as you're coming in, the big heart.
So the Kansas Cityans can't enjoy it.
What I don't like about that, and I hope all of the city people are listening right now, is that this has to blend in with the downtown skyline. One of the cool things, and you did miss this and it breaks my heart, one of the cool things during the World Cup was all of the exteriors at night. It is the most perfect addition to our skyline. It glows. This gigantic red heart.
Well, Dana, I wasn't in Siberia. I did have access to the internet.
You know, I'm not saying you keep it right by the World War I Museum, but why not light that sucker up so that on Monday Night Football, that just becomes part of our skyline? I get what they're saying in the airport. We're the heartland, and welcome to the heartland, and there's the heart. But no one's ever going to see it. Put it on the skyline.
But you do have to respect the fact that the city has to figure out a place where people are not going to go climbing up on it.
Electrify it. Welcome to our... Lost another one.
I did see somewhere, I'm not sure where it was, but they had like one of the, a mini heart set up somewhere that you could stand under, and it was really I can't remember where
that was. Put that one at the airport.
But you could have multiple mini hearts and put one at the airport, one here. And then you have the big giant one that they're going to put in a big, prominent Kansas City place.
Oh, it looks so neat on the skyline.
But who's going to provide the security for it?
That's what Kathy Nelson said they're trying to figure out. It's not just that. Who's going to own it?
Yeah.
Who's going to maintain it?
Mm-hmm.
Who's going to secure it, and who's going to ensure no one climbs on it?
Well, and that would fall under security, presumably.
It's one thing to go touch a shuttlecock outside of the Nelson. This is constructed so it looks like monkey bars.
Well, it's almost like a ladder.
It's bars, correct.
Yeah. And so what happens the first time somebody climbs up it?
It'll be the first week. Someone will get drunk and be like, hey, let's climb up on top of the art.
I loved the pictures that I saw online of people. I remember one in particular on Facebook was Donna Pittman and her family.
Yes.
Underneath there. And my neighbors, the Meads, did a picture up there underneath the heart. And it has become, you know, sort of the symbol of, you know, the very successful World Cup in Kansas City. I actually like the idea of putting it on one of the roads either leading into or out of the airport. I don't like the idea of putting it in the airport. I don't even know where you would put it. I guess the ceiling right inside is tall enough where you could put it right inside where you go up to get your tickets. But, man, people are going to have to walk around it. That doesn't work for me. Not that anybody asked. But why not put it on the road leading out so all the visitors coming into Kansas City see this gigantic red heart as they're leaving the airport? You know?
Because it belongs on our skyline.
Well, but is it tall enough to be to qualify as a skyline?
I'm trying to find an example, Scott, at night of what it looked like. And I'm scrolling now to try to find it.
Yeah, well, they had the drones up and they're doing it looks photography so good. And videography.
It's big, but it's not.
Oh, it's gorgeous.
It's not like.
You've got the Kauffman Center. Like, it just belongs somewhere right down there.
Okay. You can only put lights on half of it.
Stop it.
But here's an idea. What about the front lawn, the south lawn at the Kauffman Center? There is a grassy lawn on the south side of the Kauffman Performing Arts Center.
That's perfect.
Put a little fence around it, or
they could put it on the new park deck that might go over 670.
Okay.
I love it.
I'd be okay with that. 913-586-7798, 586-7798, here on Dana and Parks. Adolf Hitler's birthplace in Austria was officially inaugurated as a police station today in an effort. Would you care to guess why? Because the building still stands that he was born in 1889.
I find it very interesting.
Do you know why they decided to make it a police station of all things?
Keep out the looky-loos.
Keep out more than just looky-loos.
Crazy people.
People who sympathize with Nazism, who have made it his birthplace. Yeah. A pilgrimage.
Oh, good God.
That is, the crazies still live among us. Just remember
that. They ought to have a sanitarium, like, right to the left. And then when the crazy people show up because they think this is a pilgrimage, you just check them right in.
Why not just, a place that notorious, infamous, why not just tear it down and rebuild something
else? It's a great question.
Because, you know, in Europe, a lot of the buildings that stand, they build for longevity. Yeah. Over there where we'll tear down a house after 50 years, you know, and look at Prairie Village and Roland Park and all those cities where they're tearing down homes that were built in the 1940s and 50s and building McMansions on it. Hitler's birthplace in Austria, a small town in Austria, still stands. They turned it into a police station, quote, to destroy the building's appeal as a site of pilgrimage for people who still glorify the Nazi dictator.
And maybe they don't get rid of it so that we don't forget our past and don't ever do that again. I don't know.
France has become the first country in the European Union to ban social media for children under the age of 15 after its parliament overwhelmingly approved landmark legislation by 279 votes to 81. Under the new law in France, children under the age of 15 will be prevented from creating new social media accounts, new social media accounts on platforms like TikTok and Snapchat, while existing accounts will be blocked starting in January of next year. The law will also ban students from having phones in high schools starting next year and require social platforms to introduce age verification checks. Students were already banned from having phones in elementary and middle schools. This goes into effect starting in September for new accounts and, as I mentioned, January for existing accounts.
When we get back, prices are out of control. So more Americans are saying...
You going to Winona Ryder it?
I'm just going to take it. Shoplifting is up. How bad? We'll tell you when we get back.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.